In a couple minutes here, we'll get Michelle Kaufman on. Michelle Kaufman is going to join us in a couple seconds here to talk a little bit about what's going on with Inter Miami. We have an Inter Miami segment with her at 2 o'clock every week here on the program. Normally it's Wednesdays, by the way, but yesterday, because of the Jewish holiday, Michelle needed it off. She had to fast. And so now she is fresh from fasting and she is ready to join us so we can talk a little Inter Miami. A lot of things going on in Inter Miami. The buzz for the head coach continues to rise for Inter Miami, and we're looking forward to hearing who it's going to be, who the international players are going to be that's going to join us. So you can catch Michelle Kaufman's coverage at the Miami Herald. Go to miamiherald.com. You can order it, of course, to your doorstep. You can follow her on Twitter at Kauf Sports. She does an excellent job as always, and she is ready to join us here on the program. Michelle, how are you doing? Do we have her? Michelle, are you there?
I hear you now, yes.
There we go. We got you. It's a beautiful thing. You sound you sound like that cell phone commercial. So let me ask you, how do you spend your day fasting? How do you keep your mind off of food? Just out of curiosity.
Well, first of all, you spend a lot of time in synagogue. So I was there. Well, some people spend all day. They have services the entire day if you want to stay there the whole day, which I don't do, but you know, I was there from like 10 to 2, so that's 4 hours. And then I came home and, I don't know, it was actually good. I actually just got on the scale today and I thought to myself, you know what, this fast thing is not bad, because I had been working hard to break a certain number. You know how you kind of get stuck on a certain number, you cannot get past that number. And I got past that number below 1 pound. So I think it's because of the fast yesterday.
Well, I can listen. You know how I lost 50 pounds? I fast every day. You know that?
Okay. No, yeah, I didn't know you fast every day.
I started off not eating for 10 hours and then 11 and 12 and 13. And I'll go on streaks of 16 to 20 hours of not eating. And then I'll have a window of 4 to 6 hours where I'll eat my food and then go off again for a while without eating. That's actually how I lost my 50 pounds.
And is it healthy to do it that way? I don't know.
The thing is that when you're not eating, your body's burning the fat that you already have. So you're not starving, because it's burning the fat that you do have in your body. So it's actually a good thing. As long as you drink water throughout the day and you keep yourself hydrated, you're fine. Mm-hmm. I eat my calories, but I eat it in a short window is what it is. And then I let the body digest and burn the rest, because it burns the food you ate, and then it runs out of food, and so then it starts burning your fat. And your body gets, your body actually gets used to fasting every day, actually. So.
Right. Well, I do know that when you're on a vacation, you eat a lot every single day, then your body kind of gets used to eating a lot. Then when you eat less each day, the body, your stomach becomes accustomed to eating less. So that's the goal. But anyway, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I'm so used to it. I've been doing it since I was 13 years old. So I'm just sort of used to it. You know, we get, you get hungry toward the middle of the afternoon. I was pretty hungry by 3 o'clock, I would say, but I hung in there till around 6. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I did 24 hours from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Now let's talk about the really important stuff. Did Susan Miller give you the hookup? Because that bread that her husband baked looked, I wanted to eat the screen when I saw that bread.
I know. Well, Susan Miller Degnan, yeah. That's called challah. That's the egg bread. You know, challah. They sell it all over the place.
Yes.
Susan Miller Degnan's husband, Kevin, he's a lawyer. He's also an amazing chef. So she's very lucky. I mean, all this time that, she lives in Deerfield Beach and drives to University of Miami every single day to cover that University of Miami team. So, I mean, she is extremely dedicated. And she has 3 kids. One of them is a doctor, one is a lawyer, and the other one is in medical school. So she's raised 3 incredible kids. And her husband, Kevin, though, has been the provider of the food many of the nights. He's the one who cooked, and he's a great chef. And he bakes his own challah bread. I mean, I buy mine at Publix, and it's very good. but he bakes it on his own and braids it. And I have other friends who do too. They make it and you braid it and you could do all these cool things with it. So yeah, she posted a picture of that bread and I was like, yum.
It was. It looks so good, man. I wanted to eat it. I saw that and I was like, okay, it got me hungry right away. It just looked like the perfectly baked, bread, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
All right, so the question is, Inter Miami's been baking for a while now, getting the ingredients. When are we going to get the coach?
The coach is going to be in the next 2 weeks. They have assured me, today is October 10th. By the end of October, so I guess it could be almost 3 weeks, but it's supposed to be in the next 2 weeks. They have somebody in line. They have someone they're negotiating with. I don't know who it is. I mentioned before Santiago Solari. I've heard yes. I've heard no. He definitely is someone who checks all the boxes that they've talked about. You know, they keep saying, someone who's played at the highest level, someone who's coached at the highest level, someone who speaks Spanish and English, somebody who is good at training the youth and who's going to be involved with the Development Academy and you know, training young players as well as big-time star, you know, star-quality players. So he checks all of those boxes because he's coached at Real Madrid, the real Real Madrid team. He's also coached their reserve team and their academy team. He's from Argentina. He speaks English because he played soccer in the United States 1 year. So, you know, he's bilingual. He's a very good friend of David Beckham's. I mean, he fits, and he's unemployed. So he fits every category. So I think he would be a great choice. I think he makes a lot of sense. I know that he was looking to get some kind of job in Europe. And, you know, I don't know what's happening with that, but.
I'm with you there. What is there a timetable? Because I heard Moss say on what was it, World Soccer Talk? I forgot it was. They're like close. He says at naming a coach, so it makes it sound like we're on the brink of getting one.
Yeah, I mean, they said in the next 2 weeks. They're working on the contracts right now. They're working on the contracts. They have somebody. They have somebody in mind, and it's going to be sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Now, when you say they're working on the contracts, or is it contract? Is it one person, or are they working with multiple people that they're trying to decide?
No, I think it's one person, and if it works out with that person, they'll hire that person. If not, they'll have to go to number two. They have two people or three people that they've had serious conversations with. But there's definitely one person, they say that there's one person that they have selected, that they have chosen. This is the person. And they're just waiting to finalize a contract with him.
Okay. And your gut tells you who?
Well, my gut tells me Santiago Solari, but I mean, I may be wrong. You know, David Moyes is another guy from England who has connections to Beckham and connections to South Florida. He speaks English. You know, he fits the bill, not as much a player on a high level. Santiago Solari has played at a higher level and also, you know, coached at Real Madrid and coached the academy there, and the young players there and the reserve team. So I don't know. I think he makes perfect sense, but he also wanted to try to get a job in Europe. So I don't know if he's still sort of hanging out. Maybe there's some job he's considering in Europe, and if he doesn't get it, he'll come to Miami, you know. There are things in play with these coaching searches where the coaches are juggling one job offer versus the other.
All right. I like that. Any news on players and especially the international names that we've been awaiting?
Well, the main news that happened was they had that draft. You know, I told you about the draft of drafts. So they got the top expansion player. They got the top pick in the expansion draft. They got the top pick in the college draft. And yes, we're still waiting. I'm still the same thing I said last week. I still think that David Silva from Man City and Edinson Cavani from PSG, those are the two names that I keep hearing over and over. They are both very high-level players. They both, seem to be guys who are going to be leaving their clubs at the end of this season. So they are both two big names that are coming. I do not think Lionel Messi is coming. There were some little, whispers and rumors about his name being thrown around, but I don't think that that's going to happen.
All right. You said that you would investigate who are the top players for the expansion draft? Have you been able to unearth some of that news and tell us who might be the top pick that our team may go for?
I haven't been able to do as much research as I wanted, mainly because when I talked to Paul McDonough, I mean, he said that they don't even know. They are now, and that's their full-time job. They are going through every roster and trying to play general manager for each team, and especially because Paul knows a lot about the league, he's trying to figure out what each general manager is going to do with each roster. Which 12 players are they going to protect, and who are they going to leave unprotected? The part that I don't really know, the pieces that I don't know, which would help me make a better educated guess, is I don't know all of their contract situations. So he said there are teams where they may have a player who's paid quite a bit of money, and they would leave that player, you know, vulnerable, unprotected, because they think that another team would not be willing to pay that price for that player. So they may leave that guy hanging out there. And, you know, maybe Miami FC, a team with deep pockets, is a team that would invest in a high-priced player. But I don't have enough of the contract information right now to know which guys on which team, you know, are players that they would leave. I do know one little hint he gave is that he said that they are looking most closely at, you know, which is not, I mean, a huge revelation, but makes sense. They're looking most closely at the teams that have won the most trophies in the past 2 years and that are the best teams, because those are deep teams. Those are teams where even your number 13 through 18 are going to be really, really good players. So, you know, I'm going to start looking closely at the rosters of LAFC, NYCFC, Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, Paul McDonough knows very well that team because he helped build that team. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from Atlanta winds up here. Seattle is another really good team. Philadelphia has some good players. So, you know, he said that they're focusing on the best teams at the beginning, because those teams are likely to be the deepest teams, and those are the teams that have players that have won championships and know what it takes to win championships. So that's where their search is starting, and then they have to figure out which players are each team going to leave. You know, they're not going to find out till November 14th. So up until then, it's kind of a guessing game. And then for the college draft, you know, there are a lot of good players, of course, that most fans have never heard of. But there's a guy at Virginia named Daryl Dyke. There's a guy at Akron named David Egbo. A guy, believe it or not, at UCF, which keeps rising up in all the sports. A guy named Cal Jennings at UCF. So, you know, they're going to have the top college pick. They're going to have the top expansion pick. And then the two big-name players. I do know also that Paul said he wanted to have the coach in place before the expansion draft. He wants the college coach He wants the coach to be involved in the process of picking and helping, you know, determine who they're going to pick in the expansion draft. Even if it's a coach coming from Europe, they're not really going to know intimately very well these MLS players. But he would like the coach to be involved. So the coach is going to be the next big news, which is supposed to be in the next 2 weeks. The other thing that happened yesterday while I was fasting is that they announced that they're going to have a USL team.
Right.
So we already knew that, but they officially got granted a USL team.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So now that do we know the name of the USL team? No, right? They haven't said anything like that, right?
They haven't said that. They haven't said, but basically there's going to be an academy, there's going to be a USL team, then there's going to be the main team. So there will be three levels, three tiers of Inter Miami.
Okay. All right. So now here's the thing. What's up with the Miami location? What's the latest there on everything going on with the Melrese site?
Jorge Mas says that they're within 90 days of working out a lease agreement. So if that's true, then things would be moving ahead after that.
Okay. All right. So then they must have made a lot of progress in, I guess, the waste side of it is, I guess, the nicest way I can put it.
Yeah, I think that they've agreed from the beginning that whatever it costs to clean up the toxic soil, they're going to clean it. So I don't think that was ever a big hurdle. I think that was more of a PR thing from the people who don't want it at that site. Look at all the stuff they unearthed. But I think they were expecting to unearth a lot of toxins in there, mm-hmm. because there are toxins in the soil all over Miami.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. probably in your own backyard. So, and, you know, people have been playing golf on that toxic golf course for many years.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, we were some people were so dead set on, hey, let's keep, no, we got to save it for the kids. Yeah. Let's keep polluting our kids with all that stuff. Yeah. That's really, I wonder those people that were all about the kids and about the kids, I wonder how they feel now about this, because they were just, you know, filling their kids with toxins, basically, right, while they were playing there. That's amazing. All right. Here's the other thing that I don't know. This is purely out of ignorance. Okay. Is there any chance Paul McDonough goes Chris Greer on us? And I'm not saying like tearing down before he even builds, but what I mean is he's got the number one pick in the college draft. He's got the number one pick in the expansion draft. Are those things sexy enough that you can get more for the future for them, in other words? Are they worthy that much of trade value, in other words?
Well, I think the number one pick in the expansion draft could be trade bait. It really depends who it is. But if it is one of the players who's sort of a higher price player, who's a name player in MLS, who's just someone that a team is willing to leave exposed, they could, if there's a team out there that really wants that player, Miami could get that player and then trade it to that team for their expansion pick, or their college picks, or for an allocation pick, or a player that they already have.
Okay. All right. I like that. Michelle
Kopp. Yeah, because he said, one thing he said, he did say that he hopes to get, they can pick up to 5 players in the expansion draft. And I asked him, do you expect to save all 5 of those players for the team? He said, well, he said you can get up to 5, or we could, like, keep 3 and trade 2. So he definitely was open to the idea of trading a few of those picks.
Yeah, that makes sense. The college one doesn't, because obviously you're a new team. You want to build for the future, and that's obviously a piece that you can build for the future, especially if it's special. Michelle Kaufman joining us, of course. If you want to get great insight on Inter Miami, make sure you follow her on Twitter at Kauf Sports and catch her work at the Miami Herald website or at your doorstep. Hey, Michelle, before I let you go, I just want to ask you, I know that you can't be at this moment wanting a change for the Canes football team, but is it surprising to you that he's on the hot seat already, considering the way the first 5 games have gone?
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. We live in Miami. We're not patient. This is a Latin community. We're not patient people. We are passionate, impatient people. No, that doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all. And I think he knows it and he understands it. And that's why he's a good choice to be the coach. I mean, look, he's already said that he's going to get more involved in the defense again. Mm-hmm. This is a defense that was actually very good. And that was a good part of the team. It was the offense that needed to be fixed. And now this year, the defense looks terrible. So he's going to jump back in and basically be the de facto defensive coordinator from what it seems.
Yeah.
So I think he knows. I think he knows. Listen, his father was the mayor of this city. He knows what this community is like. It's a big responsibility to coach that team. And he knew that people are going to be judging him right off the bat. It was a very short honeymoon.
Well, yeah, you know, I've talked about this. He was the defensive coordinator. And so when his defense is giving up the game-winning drive, you're going to have a shorter honeymoon than everybody else, because they feel like, well, wait a minute, dude, you know half the team already. It's only the other half you got to get to learn. So your learning curve is going to be a lot shorter than everybody else. And wait a minute, it's your defense that's folding here. That's where you end up kind of losing your honeymoon. Because normally, and you know it, I don't have to tell you, Michelle, most coaches, you know, once they take over a team, their former side of the ball, whatever it is usually the strength of the team. And
right,
that was not the case last week in the most crucial moment.
No, that was the most surprising to me, because the defense was actually very good. And so many times last season, I found myself saying, wow, you know, I feel kind of sorry for the defense, because they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
We're getting all these turnovers, turnover chain, but the offense wasn't scoring. And then he made this whole point, oh, we're going to have a prize now for the offense, the touchdown ring. whatever, and it all looks kind of silly at this point. I mean, I went to University of Miami. I love swagger. I love all the stuff, the way they were in the 80s when I was there. But I think until they win a few games, they should put the jewelry away.
Yes. I'm totally with you. That jewelry should be out when you deserve it, when you're actually doing something with it. Taking it out against whatever Central Michigan or FAMU or something, come on, man. That's
no, or taking it out when you're down by three touchdowns.
That too.
And you finally score a touchdown.
Right.
And you're going out celebrating with the rings. And I don't know. I mean, I love the attitude, and I love, you know, what he's trying to instill there. He's trying to bring it back to the attitude of the 80s, which is when I was in college there, and it was a lot of fun. But I think that it should be motivation at this point. Like, we're not bringing out this jewelry box until you guys do something.
Right.
Until you win a few games. Win a few games and we're bringing out the jewelry box.
Yeah. No, listen, I hate the dude that says first down and they're down by 35 points. I hate
right.
that dude. I hate the dude that celebrates at a touchdown and he's dancing all that. And the scoreboard says 56-7. And dude, that was the only seven you have on the board. Get your ass back to the sideline. Wait till you score another 50 points so you can start celebrating. So
now,
I'm with you.
What about when they show the cheerleaders? The team is any team, not just UM, but in general, it drives me crazy when they show the cheerleaders. Their team is down by 30 points, and the cheerleaders are there with big smiles, waving their pom poms, and I'm like, "Listen, girls, your team is getting its butt kicked. What are you smiling about?"
Be pissed, right? Yeah, they should be sitting down with their arms folded,
yes,
legs crossed,
yes.
And yeah, exactly. I like it.
Yes.
I like it. All right, so what are you working on at the Herald so Inter-Miami fans can look forward to it?
Well, really, the coach. I'm really still trying to find out who the coach is. That's my mission, and I go fishing every single day. I call or text or communicate with those people, with Paul and Jorge all the time, and they laugh at me at this point because Paul McDonough calls me like the fisherwoman. I sent him memes of like fishing poles and stuff because I'm trying to find out. Come on, guys. It's mid-October. You need a coach.
Yeah.
Tell me who it is. Tell me who it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they won't tell me.
Now, there's got to be a point where there has to be a deadline, right? I mean, you have to have your coach before you have your drafts, I'm sure. So there's got to be a coach in place pretty soon because you got to bring the guy in. You got to share philosophies. You got to share direction, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure the coach wants to have a little hand or a little influence maybe on some of the players you do bring in.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I'm telling you, they have pretty much assured me that it's going to be before the end of October, there will be a coach in place. They told me not to take any vacation until Halloween.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty good right there. That's all you need to know. Don't take any vacations before Halloween, because if not, we're going to ruin your vacation, which is a beautiful
exactly.
thing. Yes. All right.
Yes.
I like it. Follow her on Twitter at Koff Sports and catch her exceptional work at the Miami Herald website. And of course, you can catch her every week here normally on Wednesdays. Okay. As long as holidays don't get in the way, but we'll catch her next week here on the program. Michelle, as
Maybe
always.
We'll have some coach news by next week. We'll
yes.
have a lot to talk about, hopefully.
Yes. Let's hope so. Thank you, Michelle. Good stuff.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
There you go. Michelle Kaufman, of course, from the Miami Herald. Good stuff there. Always appreciate her joining us here on the program. I can't wait till they get the coach. I can't wait till they get the players. By the way, today I'm wearing my Inter-Miami shirt today. I figure we're going to have an Inter-Miami segment today. I'll wear it. Although I am kind of taking risks that I'm at a facility with a lot of doggies and I'm wearing a white shirt. So there's a good chance that I might leave with a stain or two, but